Hi everyone, this is Lily and you are listening to Red Flags Make Cute Scarves. Thank you for tuning in again and I hope you're staying safe out there with all the crazy stuff going on. I have a really special guest for you today. Her name is Genevieve Bailey and you may know, I'll let her tell you how you may know her and what kind of relationship she has with Clint and Tracy from Love After Lockup. She's going to tell us her story here, and I want to make clear that this is her story and her opinion of the experience that she has had. She extends an open invitation to Clint and Tracy and a producer that she mentions to come on the podcast with her and respond to anything that she has to say, as do I. Their views are not represented in this podcast. This is Genevieve's story, and I'm going to let her tell it. Thank you so much, and I hope you enjoy listening.
Hello.
Genevieve?
Hey.
Hi, this is Lily from Red Flags Make Cute Scarves. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, girl?
I'm good. Thank you so much for talking to us today. How's your day going so far?
I'm okay. I have a little bit of a cold, so if I'm sounding a little raspy, it's not because I'm a transgender like everybody's hearing. It's because I have a cold.
Understood. Definitely understood. So,
And I don't have the corn virus or whatever that big hype is going on either. I just, have a little bit of a head cold, sinus infection. So, yeah, I'm sounding a little raspy today.
Right. I'm in Tennessee and we're not under like an official quarantine, but it's pretty close to that. Are you're in Cincinnati? Is it kind of close to that there?
Yeah, with us, everything is like on a daily. Things are like more so just shutting down by whatever. My daughter's school is they're shut down until the second or third, which actually runs into their spring break. So, yeah, and now they're talking about the schools are just going to be shut down to the end of the year. So my daughter is high risk as it is. She has an autoimmune disorder and juvenile diabetes and juvenile arthritis, and she's considered high risk. So if she even leaves the house, she has to wear a mask at this point.
Oh, wow. The world is getting crazy. So that's a good segue. Speaking of crazy, what I wanted to talk to you about, we've heard a lot of sides of this story of Clint and Tracy that's on the show Love After Lockup. And what we haven't heard is your side. So I wanted to ask you if you would walk us through your experience from the time you got in contact with Clint. And I assume your experience with Clint led to an experience with Tracy, and just from beginning to end, and tell us all you're comfortable of telling.
Okay.
So start at the beginning.
How much time do we have?
we have as much time as you need.
Oh, goodness. Okay. I reached out to Clint on the episode. There was an episode that had aired. It was the first time I had actually watched the show. And it was the episode where, it appeared they had gotten married. They hadn't gotten married. That was like, for the show, they weren't married, but they did like the bar wedding and everything like that. Yeah, the legal marriage was the second marriage.
Okay, didn't know that.
So anyhow, long story short, I had watched the episode. I felt horrible. I felt horrible for him. Which is weird because I don't typically I watch reality shows, but not reality shows like that. So I felt bad. And right around that time, my mom, I had just found out some things that were going on with my mom concerning drug issues and things like that. And people can, again, there's been some speculations or whatever, people saying that I use or whatever. And let's just set the record straight on that. I don't use drugs. I haven't done anything stronger than smoking a joint. And that was when I was 19. I'm 41 now. So I think, I'm not a connoisseur of drugs or whatever, but anyhow, just to whatever, I was dealing with my own issues and not understanding why my mom was doing what she was doing. And
hold
then
on,
I,
when,
you know,
let me interject 1 second to make something very clear for everyone listening. You did not know Clint prior to the show or anything like that. You just knew him from the show and you reached out to him, correct?
Yes, I did.
Okay,
yeah.
And I'm sorry, finish telling us about your mom, and I'm very sorry to hear about that, too, and we want to hear about that. Go ahead.
No, it's fine. It was just a lot of things with Clint and I, which is super weird. There's just, like, there are a lot of coincidental stuff, like I said, when it was just weird that I was going through what I was going through with my mom, and just so happened that night I had seen the episode where he was, like, you know, he clearly was very upset, and he was on the phone with his mom, and I felt horrible for his mom because she was upset as well. And so, yes, I did reach out to him. Not mm-hmm. as a fan. I reached out to him because I was going through something similar, and I guess it was kind of like a kindred spirit, soul kind of thing. I don't know. I'm not wording it correctly. But, I did reach out to him, and I had told him I was going through something similar that he was going through, and if he ever needed a friend to talk to, you know, that he could get in touch with me. And
that sounds nice.
I think it was about, yeah, it was about 3-ish months, and then he had contacted me, and this I remember verbatim that he had sent me. He said, if you don't mind me asking, what type of drugs did your mom do? And then I responded, because after 3 months, I was finding out more of what the hell my mom was doing. And I told him, I said, well, at this point, it's more like, what isn't my mom doing? And then he didn't respond. And I think a little time had passed again, and he had responded back to me. And I gave him my personal number, which was probably very, very stupid. I've been making some stupid mistakes, clearly, for the past couple months. But I did give him my number, and I said, if there's any time that you need to talk, so we don't have to do this on Facebook or anything, you're more than welcome to give me a call if you need a friend to talk to. And some time had passed, and I got a text on my phone, and it said, and yeah, obviously it was some time, because he said, hey, this is Clint. And I'm like, Clint who? Because I was like, Clint who? And he goes, Clint, from Love After Lockup, you know, Clint and Tracy. And that's where everything started.
That's crazy. It's almost like one word now, huh? Clint and Tracy.
Yeah.
But go ahead. I'm sorry. Continue, please.
He had got, this was right about when she had went to rehab, which is so weird because I did watch the show on Friday, and it was kind of bittersweet, and it hurt my feelings because right around that time, that was going on, literally he had gotten in contact with me, maybe even a little prior, but I'm assuming it was probably right after she had went into rehab.
Okay. And then, so she was in rehab, and then you all continued talking?
Yeah, we talked. I don't want to say every single night. Like I said, I have a daughter that has health issues, so there's, you know, certain nights that I wasn't available to speak to him. And with me, I can't talk to somebody when there's, you know, kids in the room or something like that. So usually, you know, it was at night, and I would give him a call, and we would talk literally, oh, my God, like 3 hours about, like, anything and everything, like his situation, my situation. Yeah.
Okay, so you guys did develop a connection. So how did it go from a phone thing to him actually moving to Cincinnati?
Oh, okay. Well, we had been talking, and he was living in his car, to be honest with you, because and I don't blame them at all for this. Like his mom and dad were just like, they couldn't deal with it, and they, you know, Clint. They wanted Clint to figure everything out on his own, and so he was living in his car.
I'm sorry, what specifically couldn't they deal with? Just the back and forth with his relationship with Tracy or things he was doing?
I think, I can't directly quote for Clint's mom or dad, but I think just the whole, the train wreck in general, they just, I mean, that was their son, and there was like, you know, they were trying to do everything that they could do. You know, and Clint's stubborn. He just, he doesn't listen. He just doesn't. And, you know, I don't blame them. I mean, I wouldn't want to help somebody out that at that time wasn't wanting to help themselves out. But right. What I can say is, and this is something I want people to understand, is that when Clint and I were talking, it wasn't like we were exchanging any type of nude pictures, that we were talking about running away. It wasn't anything like that at all. It was like we talked about everyday things. We talked about the struggles that he was having with the whole situation that was going on. And the fact was, I mean, he literally was living in his car. And I guess that's why I get a little bit angry with Tracy, is that Tracy doesn't understand how much literally that he did. Like, you know, she, in my opinion, she should have told him to go back home to Hops and get his life in order. And then when she got out, you know, everything. Do you get what I'm saying? I mean, why would anybody want their husband to be literally 1.4 miles away from a rehab living in their vehicle? Why? I just, that's what I never understood.
So I, you know, I did a podcast with Tracy before and got her perspective on things. And she seemed to want the best for Clint. And you don't think that, from your perspective, you don't think that that is her intention?
Well, if it was a perspective, that would be my my opinion, right?
Right.
Or would you like to back me?
I would like both. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No. She does not want the absolute best for Clint. Absolutely not. No.
And why do you think that? Just can you give us some?
Because,
go ahead.
Because she knows that Clint loves her. She knows that he would do anything for her. I mean, he has. He's done nothing but demonstrate how much he loved her. Like I said, literally for months, this man lived in his vehicle to go, you know, to visitations and be there for her. And, yeah, no, she doesn't want the best for him. Absolutely, she doesn't. Even to this day, to this hour, to this minute, even though Clint and I are not speaking, I can 100% say she does not want the best for him. I know what's going on. I'm not stupid. I've seen this. I've seen this train wreck for months now. No, she does not want what's best for him at all. And I know why she's angry right now, because every time that they have gone apart from each other, he has always come back to her. And this time he didn't.
So, I think we kind of got distracted when he was living in his car, he eventually moved to Cincinnati to be with you, correct?
He didn't come. No. Okay. So let's straighten that part out. Tracy, close to when she was supposed to get out, Clint was getting nervous, and I knew why he was getting nervous, because he was scared. I mean, when she got out, he was very concerned, if she was going to, he didn't know if the program was going to work for her. And I knew that he was nervous. And so we spoke about it a couple of days prior, because honestly, I knew when she got out that there was probably going to be a chance that him and I were going to talk. And he made me promise him, which I had no problems doing, because, you know, Clint, you know, I didn't just be there for Clint. Make this straight. He was also there for me for the issues that were going on with my mom. And, you know, I thank him to this day because of it. But I did tell him when she got out to, because honestly, I thought that I either wasn't going to hear from him again, or it would be a long time before I did. And I said, just do me a favor, and even if you have to sneak into a bathroom, text me and let me know that you're breathing, that you're okay. And I even told him, and that's what makes me mad with Tracy is at that time, I was hoping for the best. I was hoping that, you know, the program would work. I was hoping for a happy ending for the both of them.
Do you think when she went to rehab, she had intentions of following through and getting better?
Do you want to really talk about that?
I do. I want to talk about whatever you want to say. Say whatever you want to say.
She went into that rehab with drugs on her.
How do you mean?
She had drugs on her body, because you have to do a 4-day detox when you go into the drug rehabilitation. And she had drugs on her when she went in. So
How did she have drugs on? How was she able to get them in?
Smuggled them. I don't know how they do. I've never been to a drug rehab to know, like, what kind of pat-down things that they do, what they go through, or whatever. All I know, it was either through brawl or through the body.
And how do you know that?
Because I saw a picture that had the drugs in it that was on her leg. Then she smuggled as much as she could on her and flushed the rest of it down because she was nervous that she would get in trouble, that the rehab would catch her.
Wow.
Because she also didn't go just for drugs to the rehab. She went to the rehab also because she has a gambling addiction, which she herself has said.
Yeah, she recently won big at a casino, didn't she? I talked to her a little bit about that. It was like $15,000.
Yeah. I think she quotes it. I think it's like she won $1,300 and then she hit like a $13,000 jackpot or something like that. I'm not sure. I've seen pictures of it and stuff like that. But yeah, she's made that evidently clear with the world.
So if you are able to say where did you see this picture of the drugs that she smuggled in? How were you able to obtain that?
Because it was in somebody's phone.
Okay. Are you able to say who?
No, I don't feel comfortable with that, but I said it was in somebody's phone. I'm sure people read through the lines on that one, but yeah.
Okay. That's fair.
So anyhow, she had, he went and got her out of rehab, and I had gotten a text from him 2 days after the fact, and it was a picture of his car, and it was wrecked in the front. And like I said, I didn't think I was going to talk to him, mind you. And so I called him and I'm like, are you okay? And he's like, no, he said she wrecked my car, you know, and I could see the damage on the front. So yeah, it was definitely wrecked. And I said, where are you? And he's like, I'm in the parking lot in my car. I said, where in the hell is she? He's like, she's in the casino. And I said, Clint, she just literally got out of rehab for gambling. What the hell is she doing in a casino less than 48 hours getting out? And I told Clint, I said, because Clint and I, like I said, it was a little back and forth with him because he didn't know. Like, honestly, like, he wanted everything to be good when she got out. He did. He honestly did. And he loves her. Like, he honestly, like, the whole way through, this guy didn't miss one visit with her when she was in there. And he tried. Like, he literally did. Like, I will give him 100% whatever in saying that he did. He put everything into it. And I told Clint literally before him and I, you know, before he had, he had picked Tracy up from the rehab. I told him, I said, you know what, if things do not work, I said, just remember this, know that you can walk away from this situation knowing as a husband, you put 2,000,000% into this marriage. I said, do not beat yourself up if things, you know, go wrong. It wasn't even 2 days he texts me with a wrecked vehicle, and she's in the casino.
So, at some point, they separated, and did you all become more than friends at that point?
I mean, yes, Clint and I have been physical, yeah.
Okay, so you, if you're comfortable saying so, you care about Clint in a romantic way. And want the best for him.
Yeah.
Okay. And can you tell us how that progressed from the friendship? And did Tracy have an idea that you guys were kind of more than friends? And did you ever discuss that with... Have you talked to Tracy about any of this?
Yeah, Tracy, actually, Clint, they were staying in a... I don't know if it was like a hotel / like apartment thing, but they had two separate rooms, and I had text Clint a message for the day. It was like I was joking with him about something. And
I'm sorry,
Tracy,
is this
actually,
when he was in Cincinnati, or they
no,
were?
No, this is when they were in Albuquerque.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And I had text him with a message just joking around with him, and Clint, I guess Tracy had intercepted his phone while he was sleeping. And that's when she called me.
Why did they have two separate rooms?
I have no idea.
Okay.
That I you know what? Honestly, I don't know. I have some speculation on why. I think they may have had separate rooms, but honestly, with the two of them, I don't know at this point. I don't know why they did it at that time. Maybe they were having problems.
What did she say when she called you?
She said something, blah, blah, blah. Why did you send this to my husband? And I said, okay. Oh, no. What I actually told her was I said, Tracy, is this going to be a good conversation or is this going to be a bad conversation? I said, because if this is going to be a bad conversation, I'm going to hang up the phone on you. And she said, no, it's good. So literally, this is what started blowing my mind when I knew this was crazy. Her and I talked. I told her things about my daughter that was sick. We literally just sat on the phone, just kind of, you know, talking back and forth. You know, everything was cool. I told her that nothing romantic had gone on with Clint and I. I told her that him and I had spoken while she was in rehab. I told her, I said, go through his phone. You're not going to see anything on there that's inappropriate. I said, because that wasn't how our relationship was. We were friends. Now, I will say 2 weeks before she went to rehab, Clint did tell me that he thought he was starting to get a little bit of feelings for me, which I answered and said that I kind of was as well. But other than that, nothing else, nothing sexual, nothing like that.
Okay. So the first conversation you had with Tracy was friendly?
It was friendly until... It was very, very friendly until she went into the room and she woke Clint up. And she said that's when she went completely, like, she switched. Like, honestly, it was like Jekyll and Hyde. And she woke Clint up and she's like, blah, 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 fuck this, fuck that. Why are you talking to this fucking bitch? Literally just 45 minutes prior, her and I are having a completely fine conversation until she goes in and wakes Clint up. And I remember
Were you on the phone with her when she woke him up?
Yeah, I asked her. I was on speakerphone. I said, girl, why are you acting crazy? We literally just talked for 45 minutes completely normal. You were fine. Why are you flipping out on him right now?
Okay, and so I guess apparently you all ended the conversation. And then, so when he got to Cincinnati with you, and obviously she... To my knowledge, she hasn't been to Cincinnati, has she?
It would, and this isn't in a threatening way, I would say that it wouldn't be wise for her to come to Cincinnati. That has been told to her by myself, other people. Yeah.
Okay.
No, she doesn't need to come to Cincinnati. That would not be a good thing.
Can I ask why?
Well, one, he literally lives 4 minutes down the road from me, so that would be weird. Number two, I don't think, no, that it's not even legally possible. I don't even see why she would come to Cincinnati because she has charges pending in Texas right now.
Okay. And okay, so when he came, so... When he did get to Cincinnati and y'all started hanging, how did he get from the hotel room with Tracy to Cincinnati? Let's go to that part.
Okay, what happened was, I had spoken to Clint. It was actually to a point where, she was using again. And that's absolute, that is not me speculating. That is not me lying. She was using again. That's one thing I can say about Tracy, about certain things. She will just let it come out of her mouth and she gives no shits about it. So she was.
How do you know that?
Because she said she was.
Okay.
I know for a fact she was using 4 days after she walked out of the rehab. That came out of her own mouth. What ticks me off is that she tells her fans that she slipped up. A slip up is doing it one time. You know, doing it consecutively to this day, that's not a slip up. That's using.
And you know that she's doing it to this day. And I'm asking, I'm not being combative with you. I just want to get the details and make sure I'm understanding correctly. You know that she's using to this day?
Yes.
Okay. And how do you know that?
Because I know Tracy's daytime and nighttime schedule, as Clint does as well. One, she Well, one, I mean, like I said, there's the Cameo. Anybody that has access to the Cameo, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that have seen it. Number two, when you talk to her, I mean, it's literally like talking to somebody, well, kind of like Clint and I, we're manic, bipolar, so it gets, you know, but with her, she's not manic bipolar. When she's talking 50 miles a minute, it's because she's under the influence of what she's done. And usually what happens with her is she'll get to her peak time, and that's usually when she has nothing to do with Clint, not that often anyway. And then when she comes down from whatever, she'll hit him up, maybe not hit him up, and then she sleeps. And then right when she gets up, she contacts Clint. That ends up ruining my day because, you know, she puts his head in a place that it absolutely doesn't need to be in. And then, it's pretty much a repetitive pattern. It's been going on, wow, since he's been down here and prior to it. And let's make this straight. At first, Clint coming down here wasn't to be with me romantically. Clint came down here because things got really, really bad. I was on the phone with him. I can vouch for this. I heard things in the background.
I'm sorry, just to interrupt, but you all obviously, again, I just want to make sure everyone understands that you guys obviously were good enough friends. He could have gone anywhere, but he felt like he had a support system with you, not necessarily a romantic one, but he felt he went there because he felt like he had a support system with you. Right?
Yeah. Okay. What I told him one is when there were a couple incidents where things got really, really bad, where he had to go. A lot of the times he would go down to his car because he had privacy to talk, and him and I would talk, and I could just tell, you know, listening to him, like things were just, it was bad. It was just getting bad. And he couldn't deal with it anymore. I think maybe at that point he was just starting to realize that the rehab, you know, wasn't going to work. I think he was also to the point where he was just like, he felt like she had lied to him. That was his main thing, is he had actually found out that she was using, and that broke his heart. It absolutely broke his heart. And, so like I said, I told him, I said, Clint, just come down here for 7 days, 7 days, come to Cincinnati where, you know, nobody knows you, live a little bit of a normal life, get away from the whole situation. We'll figure it out. Just come here for 7 days. So obviously he needed a little bit to think about it. Well, not that long actually, to tell you the truth. And he said, that he would come down. And then I think it was like 2 days later, he had called me and he said that he was definitely going to come down, but still in the corner of my mind, you know, Tracy, you know, she's able to manipulate Clint, you know, to not doing things that she doesn't want him to do. But I think maybe even at that point, Tracy knew that Clint was pretty fed up with the situation and that he was going to leave.
Let me ask a follow-up question here, and I don't mean to keep interrupting you. This is just a side of the story we've never heard, so I apologize if it seems like I'm interrupting. I just want to make sure everything is clear, and I know everyone's going to be very interested to hear your perspective because you're kind of breaking your silence right now. Why do you think she has the ability to manipulate Clint, and what does she do to do that?
When Clint loves somebody, like honestly, he just falls. I mean, he throws his whole heart into it. I mean, he really, really does. And I can say this from experience, and I'm pretty angry with Clint right now, but one, I'm going to tell the truth, and two, I'm going to give him credit where credit is due. He loved her. I mean, let's be for real. Honestly, physically, I believe him and Tracy were only together a little over 11 months because when they first met, it was through a pen pal thing. So it was like an inmate pen pal thing. I've never heard of anything like that, but apparently they do have that. So they actually corresponded back and forth through the pen pal thing. So when she got out, so out of the 2.5 years, that the two have known each other, from what I've been told, and mathematically, just adding a month or two since he's been down here, I believe that physically, they've only been around each other a little over 10 or 11 months, to be honest with you.
If I can ask you a personal question, of the time he's been down there, how often have you all been physical?
Including sex or just...
Both. How often do you see each other, and how often have you been with him intimately?
We've been together intimately twice,
Okay.
and we've messed around a few times, like whatever, and then normally just like hugging and like, you know, kissing on the cheek or stuff like that. We've always been kind of affectionate, like, yeah, I mean, affectionate.
And when that how did that start? Has Clint ever led you to believe that? And we don't know if he and Tracy are back together at this point. Because we just saw the finale, so we don't know. Did he ever lead you to believe that it was over? And
With
just
him and
with
oh
him and
God, yes.
okay, so that's
As of yeah,
why you
as
let
of
it progress.
yesterday, yeah. As of yet, no. There was never. That is the one thing that I can say is he has never. And this is up until yesterday when he sent me a text and said that he wasn't getting back together with her. No, that yeah. If I thought that there was anything. And I didn't start until I found out what the hell's been going on for the past 2 days. Never, not one time, did I think that those two were getting back together. The marriage was supposed to be getting annulled, to be honest with you. And I know this because I've spoken to somebody that was going to take care of it. And number two, he called Tracy's mother and gave her the heads up that paperwork would be sent there. And the mother, I heard the mother, it was called on speaker.
And how I've, not that any of this is about me, but I had, eventually I'll tell this story on a podcast, but I had a marriage that did not work out well, and my husband did some things. This is not about me, so I won't tell that story, but I looked into getting an annulment, and it's very, very hard to get one. I wasn't able to get one. So on what grounds did he plan on getting the marriage annulled?
I think what it was is like, him and I had not done a lot of research about it. So we didn't know, like, you know, I had heard from people it was 30 days. I had heard from people it was less than a year, which I was like, okay. And Clint and Tracy have not been yet married a year. It's coming up on that, but they haven't been married a year. So what the grounds for annulment, oh my God, what not grounds for annulment? She cracked his head open with a freaking stone and then punched herself in the face so he wouldn't seek medical attention. He has a scar on the back of his head. That's literally
okay, tell us what led up to that. Is that a story he told you?
This is a video I saw.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Him and I were not speaking at the time, but it came up in a conversation that him and I had had, where she had gotten angry with him about something. I don't know what it was. I could just tell, you know, by the video, because he videotaped it, and it was crazy. It was like nothing I had ever seen in my life. However, she took his phone. It was his phone, her phone, not really sure, but she had cracked him in the back of the head with it. He didn't know that there was any type of damage or anything until he sat down in his recliner, and he... his head started bleeding. So what he did was when he noticed that his head was bleeding, he got up and he walked out. He said, Jen, I walked out because I couldn't be around the situation. I needed to calm down. He went down and he sat on the street. She came down and she had a black eye, and he's like, why do you have a black eye? Apparently I don't know how she gave herself a black eye. I don't know if she hit herself in the face. I don't know if she, like, did some crazy putting something in a sock and hit her in the face. I don't know what she did. But and there's pictures that they've taken where you can see a black eye on her, so I know for a fact that she did it. But, yeah, she punched herself in the face because if Clint went to the hospital, she was going to say that he hit her. And that's why he didn't go. Literally, I just took a picture of the back of his head a week ago. Because he has this big, huge scar on the back of his head.
On the video, was it actually her hitting him with it? There's actual footage of that?
No, it's just footage of where she's, like, really, really ticked off. And she, like literally he's trying to, like, videotape it. And she's, like, I mean, she's so ticked off, she's, like, literally panting. Like, I don't know, like, crazy, weird stuff. But anyway, you could hear her, she's, like, coming at him. And then you can hear, like, wrestling and stuff like that. And then he's like, she's grabbing my phone. And then after that, what was provided to me was a picture of his head, and it was like gashed, literally gashed. Like he needed stitches. He absolutely needed stitches. Like, yeah, his head is scarred.
Why were they arguing to that extent?
Why? They argue about everything, anything and everything. He could have tacked one of her wigs up on the freaking wall the wrong way, and that could have caused the freaking cell phone getting put over his head. And I'm assuming, you know, like I said, I can't say everything about knowing when and when she didn't use, but I'm would probably be more apt to saying 85% of the time that a lot of the stuff went down, she was probably under the influence of something.
Okay, I want to, and I know I'm jumping around a little bit, but So there was something on the show. I want to make it clear, I've never spoken to Clint. I don't know anything about him other than what I've heard from Tracy and what I've heard from you. One thing I did think on the show that was kind of a low blow was for him to bring up her getting an abortion when that was the decision that they made together. Did you think that was kind of nasty?
What I found that was absolutely not true about it was the fact that she said that they didn't get the abortion, that they got the abortion because they didn't have the funds to take care of the baby. That was absolutely untrue. She got the abortion because she wanted to get the abortion. Clint didn't pressure her into doing it. It was something that she wanted to do, and I think it affected him a little bit, but I think he kind of knew, like, because, like, he knew that the baby probably wasn't going to have a chance. And again, this is how I kind of think, well, no, I know she had to have been using, because it was said. I was like, Clint, if she would have had the baby, you do understand that if there was anything in the baby system, you guys wouldn't have been able to even take the baby home. And he agreed with that. So, yeah, actually, it does confirm.
Has she ever called while the two of you have been together?
Do you mean intimately or physically?
No, like physically in the same, hanging out and she's called?
Oh, yeah.
And how did that go?
I don't know. It just depends on what her mood is for the day. If she's being an asshole, she's being an asshole. And her and I, you know, get into it. And if there are some times when she calls, and that's when I definitely know she's doing her thing for the day, when she's talking 5,000 miles a minute, you know, she'll be like, hey, girl, what's up, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm sitting here, like, looking at Clint, like, didn't this bitch literally, like, 2 weeks ago call me, like, every name in the book? And, again, this is where I don't know enough about drugs to know, like, behaviors and this and that. Like, all of this stuff, I'm literally just learning all of it, like, behavior patterns and everything. I literally have never known anybody. I don't know a lot about crystal meth, not going to lie. And when I saw the picture of it, you know, I was like, oh, my God, that stuff looks like rock salt that they would put down for, like, buses to pick kids up for school. I've never seen that stuff before.
So the conversations you've had with her, can you give us some examples of the things that she says when you say she's being nice and calm, and then what she says when she's angry, if it switches?
Oh, when she's angry, she's like, why are you taking his phone? He's my fucking husband. Blah, 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 blah. Why are you controlling him? You know, and it gets nasty. And I'm not going to say that I don't say things back to her. I call her a whore all the time whenever she gets like that, because, like, I don't like being talked to like that. And then, when she's, like, somewhat nice, she'll be like, wait a minute. There was one time, actually, this would be the last time that her and I and Clint were actually on the phone together. We were out in Clint's car. And I guess they were talking about something about Clint being mad about something not getting sex. I don't know what it was. And she literally, Bible girl, was like, Jen, would you please sleep with my husband? Would you please sleep with my husband? Yes. Would you please sleep with my husband? Not, mind you, I'm sitting in my parking lot, okay? So I start looking around because, like, Twilight Zone music is, like, playing in my head because, again,
so
I'm
Tracy
boring...
asked you to sleep with Clint.
Yeah, she asked me to sleep with her husband. She's like, would you please sleep with my husband, Jen? Just please sleep with my husband. And I was like, I looked over at her and I looked over at Clint and I was like, you know what? This has got to be the most crazy conversation that I'm having right now. And I got out of the freaking car because literally, never, ever, No, never.
Why did she want you to have sex with her husband, and what did you say to her?
I told her that she was weird. I said, this is like the most bizarre conversation that has ever gone on in my whole entire life. I was like, this is nuts. I said, why would you ask me that?
And
yeah,
what did
she freaking ask me?
What did she respond when you asked, why would you ask? I mean, I would be shocked if someone asked me to sleep with their husband. Why? What was her reasoning for that?
Well, and you know what was weird was because that night was actually before he started getting like really, really mean. That was actually one night out of the blue that he was kind of being a peckerwood that day, like being a jerk. And, you know, so I guess those two had been arguing, and then I got in the car and I'm like, Clint, like, really, do we have to do this, you know, all night? Like, seriously? And Tracy's like, and she was actually sticking up for me because Clint was being a jerk. And she, I will give her this. She did have a decent night that night, and she did tell Clint, she's like, you know, everything that Jen's done for you and everything like that, like, you should not be talking to her like that. Like, you should not,
wow,
you know, this and this and that. So I will give Tracy credit that one night, where credit is due, whether she was on something or not, she did stick up for me, and she did tell him, like, you know, Jen's done a lot of stuff for you. You know, you shouldn't be speaking to her like that. And that was, I think that was after she had asked me to sleep with her husband. She's like, please, Jen, please. Like, she's begging me, like, please sleep with my husband. And then I was just like I said, Twilight Zone music was, like, playing, like, this is not happening. But it was.
Because, just to confirm, you are just a regular person, correct? Like, you're not in the, you've never been on a reality show. You.
No.
Okay. So
no,
all of this
I like
is.
No, actually, let's be honest. I don't like reality shows as much as what I did. And I don't like any of the reality shows on that television channel at all. I'll stick with MTV Challenge and Basketball Wives from now on. Thank you.
So do you think that she asked you that? Did they have an open relationship? Was she sleeping with other people? Did they have the type of relationship where they could both sleep with other people?
I know for a fact that Clint was not sleeping with anybody else. He was absolutely in love with his wife. I think that he was blindsided because, again, Clint, you know, Allison Kendall did a great job with Clint. You know, they did shelter him a lot, but he was raised very, very good. So Clint, this lifestyle that Tracy lives, and I'm not saying that Clint's not an angel. You know, Clint has done his whatever, even before Tracy came into the situation. Clint has gotten himself in, you know, some trouble on his own, and he's done some stupid things as well. What I will say is the lifestyle that Tracy was living, like, there were times when Tracy would go inside somebody's house and be gone for, like, anywhere from up to an hour to 3 hours and leave Clint outside in the car, and she would walk out. There was one time he told me she walked out with $200 or $300, and I guess, again, because he was so in love with her and because he did not know about this lifestyle. I mean, I know why she got $200 or $300. I'm not going to say it out loud, but I don't think that he knew.
Well, Clint didn't know. So for those that may be like Clint and not know, why do you think that, why do you think she got the $200 or $300?
Unless she was cooking things properly or whatever and did a good job, I'm assuming that, you know, you did. I don't know. I watch a lot of Intervention, so I guess I could say that, I don't really feel comfortable. I'm just saying,
okay.
I think people can read beyond the lines of how the money was obtained from her. And I'm honestly saying, and this, you know, Clint didn't, he didn't know. Has he figured it out by now? Absolutely. He's figured it out. He knows now. At the time, no, he had no clue.
So he didn't think it was odd that he would be sitting outside waiting on her for a very long time and she would come out with money? That sounds a little naive, doesn't it?
Because that's exactly what it was, because Clint was absolutely naive. He was absolutely in love with this woman. I mean, we all know her as the goddess, and we all know Clint's little saying on the meme, the heart wants what it wants. He absolutely, I'm telling you, when he came down here, it was bad. It was bad because he was obsessed in love with her.
Okay.
So when he came down here, I'm telling you, it was bad. It was actually the night before he came down to me, she was being so loud. All he wanted was a couple hours of sleep, girl. That's all he wanted, because he had a 1,500-mile trip to get down to Cincinnati. And Tracy knew. It wasn't like Clint was packing up and taking out on her. Tracy knew about it. She knew. And that particular night, all he wanted to do was get a couple hours of sleep, because he had a long drive to Cincinnati. And she was so loud and so horrible that he sends me estimated time things on his phone to show me that he's leaving or something. I don't know why he does that. I don't make him do it. He just does it. And I was like, it said something about a truck stop or whatever. And yeah, that's pretty damn sad, because he was the one that had paid up for that room. And he had to leave a place that he had paid up from, and he had to leave because she was being so loud on the phone, making it difficult for him to go to sleep, that he slept at a truck stop to get a few hours of sleep before he got on the road to come to Cincinnati.
What was she so upset about, and why would he continue to listen?
I don't think that it was that she was upset. I think that she was pissed because Clint was like, I'm leaving. Like, I'm leaving there. At that point in time, Clint had really put his foot down, and he was done with the situation. He was, I mean, literally, it was just every day he was figuring out more things and more things. I mean, he was just figuring out stuff, and it wasn't by any advantage, not advantage. It wasn't of any of me telling him what was going on. He was just, it was literally like his eyes were freaking opening to what the hell was going on. Like, the whole rehab situation and what happened and transpired within a week of her getting out, I think was enough for him to be like, wow. I just think it was more of like an eye opener to him. I think he was just figuring it out. I was proud of him. Not going to lie.
Okay. So you said the one time when you were together and Tracy called and you guys had a good conversation on the phone, were there times when she would call and you all were together and that was not the case?
Oh, yeah. That was a lot of the time. She just was crazy, erratic, calling me every name underneath the book, just acting a fool, literally.
And how did that happen? Would Clint pass the phone to you, or would she call you directly?
No, he would. No, she never had my direct number. The number that she gave out literally 3 weeks ago that she gave out online was my best friend's number. She knew that it wasn't Clint's number. She gave out my best friend's number. Now, was Clint in the right in that situation for giving her number out? Absolutely. That was an asshole dickhead move. He should have never did that. However, she did not make it any better giving out my best friend's number, because he literally got over 1,500 calls.
Okay.
No, she does not have my direct number. Absolutely not. There. Oh my God, I would go crazy. I mean, I would deal with nothing but her fans. And see, that's the really sick thing about all this is, like, she always brings up her fans, and she's like, she's told Clint and I this massive amounts of times that she would have her fans destroy us. And you know what? She told the truth. She did tell the truth, because for the first, God, maybe up until 2 weeks ago, I literally had stuff pouring in about me that was not true. Fans, her little fans, just basically doing her work. She would tell somebody to send something to my phone, and they would do it.
So I want to circle back to what the things that you feel have been put out about you that are untrue, but I do want to ask you again, because her asking you to sleep with Clint was so bizarre, and you think that was genuine and not sarcastic, and to your knowledge, did they have an open relationship where she was giving him permission to sleep with other people, because maybe she was sleeping with other people? Was that the case, or she just wanted?
No way. Clint was on lockdown. Clint was not even allowed to have female friends. I mean, you saw the episode where she freaked out and found out he was talking to a girl online, but with her, I know for a fact she was doing things behind his back, and he knows that. He knows that now. But no, as far as I know, there was no like threesomes or anything like that going on. Absolutely not. Tracy wouldn't allow Clint to. No, she had a problem if Clint probably looked at another woman.
So that's why
it was so bizarre that night that she told me to sleep with him. Was she being sarcastic? Absolutely not. She was telling me to sleep with him.
Okay. And what were the things that you know she was doing behind his back, and how do you know that for a fact?
Well, like I said, it all goes back into the, I mean, when they were together, like I said, he would like wait out in his car for like an obscene amount of time. And like I said, there was one time when she walked out and she had $200 or $300. You know, I knew why she had it. And I think, like I said, I think now Clint's understanding why.
That's not exactly behind his back, though, if he was right there.
Well, I mean, I don't think he was there holding her legs up or anything, but he was in the park. And I know exactly who she was doing this with. I'm not an idiot. I've talked to the guy on the phone.
And what was that conversation like? What did he say?
The guy was actually pretty pleasant. I mean, he wasn't like, I think I kind of feel bad for the guy because he's kind of gotten yanked into this. And this is, again, speculation on my part because I'm not in the room to see it. But what I can say is that if she's not over at her mother's house in Midland, she is over in Hobbs at a guy's house that is known for things. And I'm going to leave it at that. And, yeah.
So and this is the person that you've talked to who's told you these what they've been doing?
Mm-hmm.
And can you tell us what he said?
Basically, I mean, he provides something to them, and they provide something to him to obtain what he gives them. And I know that sounds very wishy-washy and around whatever, but I'm trying to be as respectful to Clint as I can.
Okay. Fair enough. So I'm trying to think of, so we saw a Facebook Live video a couple weeks ago, maybe, where Clint seemed very upset and he was kind of, it seemed like he was ushering someone out of the room. Was that you?
Are you talking about the first Facebook Live where him and I did that? Because that was an absolute train wreck and I never, ever, ever should have done that. The reason that him and I did that was because people from her page were literally harassing the hell out of me and harassing Clint. And it was like lies, like lies, like me being called a meth head. I was a bad mother. I mean, it was getting crazy. So Clint and I made a jackass move and we did a live thinking, you know, hey, we're going to get our truth out. Well, no, that didn't work out very well at all.
Okay.
And are you talking about the live that you did from my house?
There was one, it was, he had put all over the place that he was going to go live and then said he couldn't and then ended up going live later that night. And he seemed to be alone. And then there was a part where someone came into the room and he was like, hey, mom, or he kept calling the person mom.
Yeah, he calls me mom too. Because, okay. I was walking, because he was drinking. He's on antidepressant medication. And I had never seen that boy take one sip of alcohol, not any time in my life. Never, ever, ever. And he was on the live. He was acting like a jackass. He slipped my name out once. And I knew he was going to do the live. And I told him, I said, if you do the live and you want to make a jackass out of yourself, you go ahead and do it. I said, but if you do anything and mention me into anything, I'm shutting it down. Like, dude, I'm not kidding. And so literally I watched it and within, shit, God, it was like 10 minutes, he was doing the insinuating thing. Like, he made that Jen A thing. I'm Jen A. Okay, so that was the first one. And then he made another comment where he put my name out. There's the second one. And so I literally got to, like, the fifth one, and I was like, oh, screw this. So I told my friend Mike, I said, Mike, keep this live going. I put my shoes on, literally drove to him, got there within 3.5 minutes, I banged on the door, I walked in, and I guess that's when he was like, oh, God, I can't have privacy or whatever. And the voice that you heard, that was my voice. I said, Clint, why in the hell are you drinking when you're on medication? And then that's when the live went off.
So why does he call you mom?
Because he thinks that I act like his mother when he gets mad at me.
Okay, and do you think... And I want to make it clear, all of this we're talking about, Clint and Tracy are not here to weigh in. And I have told Tracy that she, and I've told you that I've told Tracy that she has an open invitation to respond to anything that was said on this podcast. So we all understand that, correct? That this is all, that neither one of them are here to confirm or deny this. Do you think that he is possibly under the influence of anything else when he gets like that?
And gets absolutely not.
Okay.
Nope, absolutely not. The only thing that I can confirm on, and this is even when I spoke to Clint on the phone, when I had talked to him, when we first started talking, I knew that he had messed up and he had done some meth. And he was very, very 150% honest with it. He did not use, not one time when I spoke to him on the phone, he has not used, not one time since he's been down here in Cincinnati. The only thing that he does is smoke a shit ton of weed.
Okay. And a lot of people do. So no judgment there.
Mary Jane, that's what he calls it.
So what has been, have your feelings been hurt by this whole thing?
Oh, I feel like Clint, absolutely. Not only did, I feel like not only did he stab me in the back, I think he stabbed me so far in the back that it literally, like, reached my heart. He absolutely, and it's not even about the fact that I love him. It's the fact that I did everything, like, when he came down. Like, literally, I got him into an apartment. I got him into my doctor's office for him to see a nurse practitioner. He wanted to get an STD check done. They did a wellness check on him. He was diagnosed with bipolar mania, which is exactly the same thing that I have. And now that makes perfect sense to me when he's speaking really quickly and people are like, oh, he's on meth. See the way that he's talking? No, it's not because he's on meth. It's because he's manic. He's very, very manic. So when he gets manic, he is like 90 miles a minute. And it's because he can't control. When you get manic, and I can only verify this because this is something I've dealt with for 10 years myself, your head's going like 50 miles a minute. So with Clint, and he's like that, it's horrible. It is horrible. It's horrible. I almost feel bad for him. I really do. Until he starts being an asshole to me. Then I don't feel bad so much.
So what like was said, one of the things that he's done that you were just like, oh my gosh, this is crazy, like just kind of a what the fuck moment?
I was at his apartment last week. He asked me to come over, and I had went over, and we hung out. We had hung out, and we were sitting on the couch, and he was like, oh my God, I have a missed FaceTime. I'm sorry, they FaceTime. And I'm like, okay, and he's like, and it's from her. And I was like, okay, and he's like, well, do me a favor, can you go back and hide in my room? I'm like, why? That's weird. And he goes, because she's going to ask me to turn my phone around, and she's going to want to see my apartment. I'm like, so what? And that's weird. And why, again, do you want me to go hide in your room? And he's like, well, because if she sees you and whatever, and I was like kind of piecing stuff together. I'm like, wait a minute. Are you freaking telling her that you and I are not speaking? Is that what you're saying? And he really didn't confirm it, but he didn't deny it. So I kind of knew. I'm not a dumbass. Mm-hmm. So I went into the back room, and I was sitting on his air mattress, and they had spoke, and she said, oh my God, a dog or something like that. I guess maybe a dog had ran out in the road or something. And then she just hung up on him, like, immediately. And then he called her back, and they had a little bit of a conversation, and then he came into the back room and talked to me for a little bit. And a couple things happened. I shut that down. So
what we went things back happened out that you shut down?
You know, just like him kissing on me and stuff like that. And I was like, you know, he had a knot on his back. He likes getting massages and stuff like that. So I was like helping him out with the knot on his back and whatever. And then we went back out into the living room, and I sat down on the couch, and Tracy FaceTimed in again, and and that was basically what set the tone for that day. And then when Clint gets really, really agitated, he starts walking and pacing back and forth. So I could already tell, you know, like I said, if he gets in contact with her or she gets in contact with him, I already know because that's when I start getting the bad texts.
So when she FaceTimed in again, was she angry that you were there?
She didn't know that I was there. Actually, up until you spoke to her, and as she listens to this podcast, she's going to find out that him and I never did not stop talking.
Okay.
She's been under the impression from him that him and I are not talking. I found out literally just a little couple hours before I had spoken to you and saw your message. I didn't even know some of the things that he was telling her about me, like calling me a transgender. That's rude. Number two, he had what I had been told is that he had called me a bad mom. That's disgusting. That ticked me off. I think the
Clint
fact
called
that
you a bad mom, or Tracy did.
He did. I don't know why Tracy. Well, I mean, Tracy has called me a bad mom, but I don't take any whatever to that because she's got a child and she has nothing to do with her kids. So, I mean, go figure. I don't give a shit what she has to say about that.
Why would he call you a bad mom?
Because he's talking to her again. Now I understand why this last month everything has been literally crazy as hell. He was, like I said, it has been so bad in the last month. And I'm not the only one that gets it. He takes his crap out on his mom, too. It's both of us.
So is he playing you both, maybe? Has there ever been a time where you caught him red-handed talking to her or something when he told you that he wasn't?
Oh, yeah. I heard him tell her the day that I was over there, they were saying, I love you. I love you, too. And that's when I texted my friend Mike, and I said, because I left my car here in case my best friend needed it. And I texted him because I knew that Clint was about to start. Because like I said, every time him and Tracy get off the phone, it puts Clint into like crazy person mode. And that's when I text Mike and freaking, and this is how cool I am, or how stupid I guess people could be. After I found out and he's telling her that he loves her and I'm finding out that he's hiding me away and doesn't want her to know that him and I are speaking. I said, is there anything that you need when I go out? Because I'm the one that does his grocery shopping, or I think he did it once for himself, but I'm the one who's been basically doing it. But I made a list, girl, to pick him up. He needed oven mitts. So what do? My dumbass goes out and buys him a 5-piece set for his kitchen. He needed milk because he needed cereal because the guy eats like he's got a freaking tapeworm up his butt. So here I am finding out that I'm hidden, and here I am being a dumbass, going out and picking up things for his house.
Well, we've all been there where, you know, we've been lied to and done things that it just hasn't all been blasted on social media for everyone. So I can't imagine going through some of the dumb things I've done in relationships I've had and have the world, you know, attacking me. So that's got to be very hard.
I think what ticks me off is like, I feel like there are a few things that literally keep floating around about me and it pisses me off and it's absolutely not true. People talking about calling CPS on me because I'm a bad mom and I'm doing meth in front of my kids. Okay. I have a heart condition. Clearly my go-to after, you know, having a bad experience with a joint over 20 years ago, I'm definitely going to go to meth when I knew nothing about it anyway, but yeah, that's what I'm going to do. You know what I'm saying? Like logically, come on, people, you guys got to come back with some good material.
Right.
Stop listening to what Tracy is telling you, you know, that you guys are blasting. And it is. And I can say this 150%. Tracy has made it clear from day one that she was going to get her fans to ruin me and to ruin Clint. And that is one thing I will say that she's told the truth about. She has had her fans do her dirty work even to this day.
What kind of dirt? What specifically, what has she had them do?
Oh my God, I've got messages. You're a homewrecker. You're a fucking slut. You're a bad fucking mother. Clint never wanted you. He's going to end up back with Tracy. Oh my God. In the beginning of it, oh my God, they had a website that Alice, thank God, bless her heart, she got the site fucking set down. It was something Love After Lockup Hops, and it was a page that was made for Clint. And that was pretty nasty. A lot of the stuff that was said in there. I had people taking pictures of the front of my house, my daughter, my 16-year-old daughter, I didn't know that she was on the site and she was reading some things. There were some pictures posted about me. I mean, because I what I can tell you is what's going on now and these blow-ups that he's having and the things that he's saying primarily to his mother and I, which are disgusting. Actually, I'm not so much mad about what he says about me. What makes me mad is the way that he treats his mom, because that woman, everybody thinks she's like this, you know, Malice Brady and, you know, saying this and that. That woman is amazing. She is absolutely amazing. She's amazing to me. She's amazing to my kids. She is she does anything and everything to help Clint out. The only reason that Clint has that nice-ass apartment that he's in right now is because his mother is the guarantor. And that's why it's so funny that Tracy feels like she has the right and to be entitled to go stay in that apartment. And legally, she can't even do it because you, in Ohio anyway, what I can tell you is that you cannot have somebody in your apartment. Other than like a 1 week or 2 week visit, I think. But in order for him to add her, and Clint's got the balls, he would try it. I'm telling you, he would. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have the authority to do that. Only his mom can do that. And you think that his mother is going to allow that? Hell no.
So just to kind of summarize things, what would you want to say to Tracy?
I'm trying to be as classy as I can be about this, honestly.
Say it however you want.
Can I light a cigarette first?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you. But I appreciate that.
This is your opportunity to get it off your chest.
I think that Tracy does care and love. I think that she loves Clint. I can say that. And I've asked Clint this myself. Do I think that she loves herself more than she loves Clint? Absolutely. I think that she has absolutely, I think she's destroyed him, literally. I'm going to get upset.
Okay. Take your time.
I really care about him. I got him in to a doctor. I got him medication to help out with his problems. Every time he had a problem, I was there. Every meltdown where he was laying on the floor, I was the one rubbing his back. Even now, when people call him a meth head, even after everything that I found out that he said, sorry, my dog's barking. Even after everything that he said about me and everything that I've just found out that's been going on, I still went to bat for him every time somebody's called him a meth head, because he's not. I think Tracy needs to get help, but what I can honestly say is there are just some people out there that are beyond help because they don't feel like they have a problem, if you understand what I'm saying.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to say to her?
Absolutely. The show has, I guess, been a blessing to her financially. I think that the show has absolutely gone to her head because of the fan base and everything like that. One thing that I do not have any respect for her for is the situation with her child. I don't think that she has any right to tell me when I am up at Children's Hospital for a child who literally almost died a couple days ago, for her to tell me that I'm some kind of bad mother, or have her minions tell me that I'm some kind of bad parent when she doesn't even have anything to do with her child at all. I think that's disgusting. I think it's tacky, and it's not cool. If Clint and her get back together, I have no doubt in my mind, it's probably going to end up on a Snap show, or Clint's going to end up in prison. And
wow,
Clint, because she's got his head to the point, like literally it's going to be one of the two, or both of them are going to end up doing something. It's bad. It's toxic. It is the most toxic thing relationship I have ever, ever seen in my life. It is toxic. It is, it's disgusting. It's disgusting. It is so disgusting. And people have turned it around and made it out like he is the one. Dude, I'm telling you, if anybody took this marriage vow seriously, it was Clint. It was not her. Absolutely was not.
Okay. So,
Do I have anything to say to her personally? Yeah, if she decides that she wants to do a podcast with you and say whatever it is that she wants to say, it's not a threat, but I would warn her about whatever it is that she says, because for every lie that she may say or whatever about me, I'm definitely going to be able to clap back on that, and I can provide proof. She can't.
If she was willing to do another podcast, and I've made it very clear that she is welcome to respond to anything that was said on this one, would you be willing, if she was willing, to have a conversation on the podcast together?
Absolutely.
So can we say that's an open invitation to talk to her publicly?
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely, okay. Open invitation. I'm not going to sit and kiss her butt like everybody else does, but I will absolutely not disrespect you or disrespect myself or even disrespect her.
I don't want to disrespect anyone. You've both been very, very great. You've both given me your time coming on here, and I appreciate you both telling me your stories. So at one time you guys were on good terms, and maybe you can get back on good terms. Do you think that's possible? Do you think it would? When I say that, am I exaggerating that? Was that just the one phone call?
Yeah, that was just the one phone call. There was a time, oh my God, it was like 48 weeks ago, 49 weeks ago, when I did offer her some words of encouragement, like, you know, I hope everything goes well. And see, that's another thing that got twisted with the media, is that me and her were BFF, and she told everybody her and I were great friends. No, we weren't. We were never great friends. I didn't know anything about her. I just said, hey, I hope everything works out for you. And I posted it on her page. Literally, it was like, God, it had to have been 50-something weeks now. We were not friends. I did not be friends with her and then steal her husband. Come on. And this is what this has all been twisted into. No, absolutely not.
So let me ask you this, I'm sorry, go ahead, finish.
What ticks me off with her is she likes to put it out to everybody. I'm so real. No, you're not. What kills me is there are people on her page that literally have addiction problems, and they find her to be a success story. And she goes, you know, well, I had a slip up. No, you didn't have a slip up. A slip up is when you mess up and you don't do anything, whatever. You know what I'm saying? When you are consistently doing it, that's not a slip up. That means you're using. And I guess that makes me feel bad for some of the fans that look at her like she's some success story, and she's not being real. For somebody that sits and says, I'm so real and all I do is speak truth. No, she doesn't.
Okay. Anything else you want to say to her?
I wish she would stop messing with that, with Clint's head. Honestly, I wish that she would, because I think that Clint, you know, he's got himself established down here. He's in counseling. He is, Clint has every potential in the world to do great things. And it almost seems like to me she does not want that at all. She wants him to live this hectic, chaotic, crazy lifestyle that she lives that he is not used to being in. I wish she would just stop. Because let me throw something else out. Two nights ago, because of, you know, whatever had been going on with Clint and I, Clint talked to my friend. I mean, not Clint, Tracy talked to my friend. In the background, there's a dude. So if you're talking to me about how much you want to be back with your husband and stuff, you have a dude on the phone with you.
Who was the
Clint
guy?
Clint doesn't even know about it. I'm assuming it would be Zane.
And what was he on the phone doing?
He was in the background. You could hear him. He was talking, you know, Zane's actually not that bad. Like, he literally just, like, tries to stay chill and stay, you know, neutral, you know, between everything. He's not combative. He's not rude. He's not whatever. I mean, he's not a great person, but he's not like somebody that I would say is like a, you know, jackass or anything like that. But what I'm saying is like, she wants him to completely axe me out of his life, have nothing to do with me and whatever. But then on her end, she does whatever the hell she wants to do. And I don't even think Clint has, I don't think Clint knows even 50% of what the hell's going on.
So what are you suggesting is going on? Is he a friend?
No. Well, I mean, maybe he's a friend. Do I think that, are they doing more than that? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And Clint knows.
And is he concerned about that?
Is he concerned or is he confirmed on it?
Both.
Both. I was about to say both. Yeah, he's confirmed on it. He said it his own mouth. He knows.
How does he know also? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I can't speak for him on how he knows. Maybe he knows because of, I don't know that I haven't gotten a whatever out of him. All I've heard is, you know, what he's told me concerning that. I know that Tracy and him have to be pretty close because there's been, you know, a couple times, like I said, where I've spoken to him and Tracy was with him.
What did he say? What exactly did he say to you about the friend that she has in the background? And how he knows.
Zane, when I've spoken to Zane, I'm just like, you know, like, why, you know, how do you feel about this? You know, this is a train wreck and whatever. And he's just like, you know, I don't really want to be too much into it. He goes, you know, he's just, like I said, he's a very pleasant guy. He's not a jerk or anything like that. But, you know, behind the scenes, is he this great guy? Absolutely not. No.
Now,
everybody
knows what did Clint say to you about this situation? To confirm.
Clint has said many times that Zane and Tracy have been together.
And did he say how he knows that for a fact?
No, he did not confirm about that. Maybe Tracy's told him. I mean, like I said, sometimes Tracy, you know, Tracy, I'll say the same thing about Tracy as I'll say to Clint. Tracy and Clint are not each other. Tracy is Tracy's own worst enemy. And Clint is Clint's worst enemy. Do you get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I do.
And it's sad. You know, there's, like I said, there's other stuff that, you know, has gone on. All I can say is that this is sad. I mean, like I said, I'm not trying to say that, you know, Tracy's this horrible person. What I will say is that her intentions for Clint, they are not pure. Maybe she does miss him. Maybe she does miss having somebody that runs around and does everything in the world that she tells him to do. Is she concerned about his well-being? I can tell you exactly why she's not concerned for his well-being. You don't just get bipolar overnight. You know what I'm saying? If she was ever concerned about Clint, why in the hell did she not take it upon herself as a wife to get him help, to get him mental help? You want to know why? Because she's too busy using and doing what she wants to do and having Clint, you know, do everything for her. That's why I told you, do I think she loves him? Yes. Do I think that she loves herself more than him? Absolutely. I put my life on that.
Okay.
And that's
so,
why him and her are estranged right now. I wouldn't say estranged because, like I said, up until today, why I'm assuming the reason I haven't heard anything from Clint is because Tracy, no doubt, after she got off the phone with you, she called Clint and said that I was doing this podcast today. So that is why I have not heard from Clint. Because even if Clint is mad or not mad, literally, I get texts every single day from him. I heard nothing from him today at all.
And does he ever communicate by any way by phone? Does he ever, you know, do things like you would when you're dating someone, send gifts or anything like that?
Yes, he sends me love songs from his Apple phone on a daily, and he sends, my God, like I said, not even a couple of days ago, he asked me to come over and stay the night with him, quote unquote. He said, we don't have to have sex, you know, because I've gotten mad at you because you wouldn't do it before. Yeah, like this whole him telling Tracy that I'm not relevant and he doesn't talk to me and all this crap, for somebody that doesn't like me very much, 90 texts a day kind of counteracts what you're saying.
So what's the last, what you would consider a romantic gesture you got from him? I'm just wondering if he, like, woos you, because it seems almost, and he's welcome again to come on here and respond to anything. You know, it sounds like he's kind of playing both of you, to be honest. So if he's doing things you would do when you're dating someone, is he giving you presents? Is he...
Yeah, I'm wearing it right now. I just got a freaking thing in the mail from Amazon that he ordered for me, and it's a Broncos shirt, and I'm wearing it right now.
Okay.
And, yeah, this is, like, all within the last 2 weeks because he sent me the text telling me that he got it for me and that it was coming in the mail.
And do you think Tracy knows that?
Tracy will know that if she's listening to this.
Are you a Broncos fan? Is that why he sent it to you?
No. No.
Okay. What would you say to Clint? Oh, I'm sorry. Before you answer that, I do have, and I won't take up too much more of your time. I want to make it clear, you're not employed by WeTV. You're not employed by any of the producers or the production company, anything like that. You've not signed any kind of DNA or anything like that, correct?
Nope. No, ma'am.
So have you had any experience with production?
Like working wise?
Like speaking with any of the producers or anything like that?
Since you've been such a big part. Yep. I've spoken to the producer. Yes, I have.
Can you tell us about that?
He's a jackass. That's what he is.
Can you name names and give us some details?
Yeah, his name is Alan. Can I get sued for this? You know what? No, I don't even care. Because it doesn't matter, because he has contacted my phone, and he has texted my phone, and I did a FaceTime with him, not a FaceTime, but an Apple whatever, from Clint's phone a couple weeks ago when he was manipulating Clint and messing with his head. This guy is a snake. He's a jerk.
And why do you think he's a jerk? What has he said to you?
Well, when Clint and I did the very first live, he basically smacked us on the hand, telling us not to get on social media anymore, and which we didn't. Well, I didn't. And, I spoke to Alan. I texted Alan last night, which is so, oh, my God, this is so crazy.
And yeah, let me interject here. Alan, wherever you are, you also have an open invitation to respond to this, too. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You know what? And I hope that he does, because guess what? I have every single text that he has ever sent me that has his phone number and his name on it. So I hope that he does.
Okay.
After what he pulled last night, I hope that he does. I had contacted Alan because I was so ticked off because, like I said, I'm very concerned about Clint and where his head is and everything that's going on. And I contacted Alan and I told him, I said, because I guess he had told Clint that he needed to go back to Hobbs and be with Tracy. And this is what kills me with Alan is Alan knows that Clint is bipolar. Alan knows that Clint is established down here. Alan knows who the hell I am because Alan has texted my phone multiple times. Alan has talked to me on the phone multiple times.
So back Alan, up, why did Alan start getting in contact with you? What was the point since... he's not paying you, you're not employed by the show or any, why was he getting in touch? What was the first contact you had and why?
Because Clint was acting a fool. Like when Clint gets mad, he texts people like multiple times. And basically what I was doing at that point in time was trying to keep Clint calm down. So he could get his check mailed to him. And, I will say, you know, Clint's, you know, not been very cool to Alan at times, but Alan's definitely not cool. Like last night, I got in contact with Alan. I was like, listen, this is Jen. And I said, you know, I said, why in the hell you're sitting here and manipulating somebody that you know is going through mental issues and stuff like that. And not just him, it's Tracy too. It's both of them. I don't know. I can't say for a fact that the both of them are in cahoots about what is going on, but I can tell you that anything that Tracy's doing right now towards Clint, that Alan is 150% on board with it.
How can you say that for sure?
Because Alan likes to screw with people. Like there was an incident where I was over at Clint's house and all Clint wanted, I think it was a check issue. I'm not completely sure, but he, FaceTime, he had told Clint that he was on his way to Cincinnati. And of course, you know, that he was on his way and that he was going to come to Clint's apartment. So, yeah, because actually that day Clint called me and he goes, I need you. He goes, I'm freaking out. Alan's coming here. And I actually got a ride to his house because I was like freaking out. So I got dropped off and I went upstairs and I'm like looking at the messages that Alan's sending Clint. And I was like, Clint, just FaceTime Alan. So Alan's face pops up. I'm literally talking to him face to face. Right.
Mm-hmm. And I said, what does Alan look like?
A weasel.
Okay. Copy that. Go ahead.
He's like 60 something years old, dude. Like the only time I've literally like, well, I saw him the day on the FaceTime. I was talking to him. He was talking to me. And I said, where are you? I said, you keep telling Clint that you're coming over. And Clint was freaking out, you know, considerably so, you know? And I said, where are you?
Do you think that Alan's point was maybe he didn't want, he felt like Clint was ruining the story?
I think that Alan likes the train wreck. I think that here's Alan's main thing is he doesn't, and honestly, I get this. I get this with Alan. Like, he has to deal with people above him, and Alan is in charge, and this has come out of his mouth and is on my texting, is that he is in charge of 12 different castmates. So I get it, you know. It can be hard on him. He doesn't want spoilers to come out or things to come out concerning the show. You know, it can ruin ratings. That part I get. The mind manipulation and the things that he does and the things that he texts Clint and the things that he says, no, that is not what a producer does. I don't even see legally how it's okay to talk to somebody like that.
I think it's reasonable that he doesn't want spoilers to come out to ruin the show. But what do you think he's doing that is being manipulative and not what a producer should do?
I think that, one, I'm telling you, it's not a complete reality show. To me, a reality show, there should be some things that are in it that are real. I mean, wouldn't you say? I understand that there's editing things. I understand about this. I understand about that. What I don't understand is the fact that, like I said, that day that he said that he was at Clint's house, I said, okay, so why don't you come up to Clint's apartment and talk to us? And he's like, I'm more of a watcher. And I was like, what the hell are you talking about, dude? I said, it's creepy. I said, where are you? And I'm like looking behind him. I know the apartments. He didn't look like he was there. And I said, okay, where are you? Are you out? And he said, I'm outside. And I said, okay. And he goes, well, he had said something about me and Clint coming downstairs.
Does Alan live in Cincinnati?
Hell no, he doesn't. He said, he goes, well, something about me and Clint coming downstairs. And then he said, well, there's some people with me. I said, so you want us to walk downstairs because you have a freaking camera crew with you? And he's like, yeah. That's what he said. He's like, yeah. And I said, so you want us both to walk downstairs and you have camera crews with you? I said, and he was like, he said something about me having to sign something or whatever. I don't know what the hell
he was
talking about.
I was going to ask why he didn't ask you to sign an NDA. So he offered to... He wanted you to do that and come on the show, and you said no. Is that correct?
Yeah. No, he never asked me personally to come on to the show. No, what he had said was something about the camera crew and something about me or whatever. And then I was like, I said, are you really down there? And he's like, no, I'm not. I said, why in the hell would you do something so twisted and whatever when you have this guy literally pacing back and forth in his apartment thinking that you came down here?
What was his answer?
He looked at me and chuckled with some creepy-ass freaking smile. And I told him, you're messed up.
But what do you think his point was in doing that? Was he... had Clint upset him in some way and he was trying to...
Clint always upsets Alan. If Clint doesn't do... It's the same thing with Tracy. If Clint does not obey what Alan tells him to do, then checks get dangled in front of his face, or Alan will sit there and text him stuff that literally just hurts Clint's feelings, and he says stuff that puts Clint in a bad place. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Let me tell you this. I understand you guys got to get, you know, people got to get their ratings. You want to get your ratings because Alan wants to get paid just like everybody else does. However, there comes a point in time with people, and I'm definitely going to plug Tracy in on this one as well. When there is a person that literally has just gotten diagnosed with a mental disorder and they are just starting medication, which, by the way, doesn't just click in the next day. It can take up to a month, month and a half to start leveling out in the system and working effectively. Okay? And Alan knew about all this. Knew about it. He knew. Why would two people that know fully that Clint's going through, like, all this stuff, why would you guys go out of your way to mind screw this guy? No matter, even if Clint texts you 900 million times because he's having a manic moment or this, this, and that, why would people take advantage of that? That is what pisses me off. He's a freaking human being at the end of the day, you know?
Yeah. So you said that the show is not real. What is not real?
Because they get told what to say.
Can you give us some examples?
Like certain things where Clint had to yell across, I love you, my goddess, I love you. Not real.
What else?
First wedding, not real.
Would you say it's scripted?
Absolutely. Some of it, no, I take that back. Some of it, not. Some of it, yes. Because when I watched the first episode before I reached out to Clint, every single bit of what happened on that episode, as far as I'm concerned, was 100% real. Did she leave? Yes. And I will give Tracy this. She did leave the wedding ring. That surprised me a little bit. But
was that real?
Clint,
that whole thing was real?
Yeah.
Okay.
Clint is not, no, the rental car has never been recovered to this day. It's gone. Nobody even knows where that went. That's like an episode that you would see on Cold Cases about missing cars.
Wow. So what would you say to Clint?
Wow. I thought he was one of the most honest people in the world that I had ever met. I'm hurt by him. I am extremely hurt by him. I don't even know how much of it, because like I said, Clint is in such a mindset right now that even if I was crying, well, no, God, there's been plenty of times I cried like right in front of him and it didn't even faze him. So, I never break my promise. I don't know. I loved him. I love him. I'm not sure. I don't know what my feelings are right now. I'm trying to process that, to be honest with you. But I never did any of this for clout. I never did any of this for that stupid show. I wasn't a fan of that stupid show. I always told him I wasn't a fan of Luck, you know, Clint from Love After Lockup. I was a friend of Clint, you know, I was a fan of Clint Brady, not a fan of Clint and that stupid show. Never.
So,
and
you
I would
said
thank
you...
him. I would definitely tell Clint thank you. Like, I mean, he literally saved my life. I mean, he was there for me when he had his own problems going on. It was just like, I don't know if you've ever seen that episode with Forrest Gump when him and Bubba were leaning up against each other when they were going through the war thing when it was raining and stuff like that. That's exactly how it was.
Uh-huh.
And I love him. I do. I do. And I, you know,
are you in
he can
love
tell
with
me
him?
15. I don't know.
Do you think he and Tracy will get back together?
I don't know. I don't know. If you would have asked me this a week ago before I found out about everything, I would have told you no, absolutely not. Clint's had every opportunity to drive back to her, and he never did. And I would have said no. Right now, I don't know.
Okay. If they did get back together, would you fight for him?
Absolutely not. No.
If they got back together, you would not intervene and try to have him with you instead. You would respect that decision?
No.
Okay.
No. I actually told him in the past couple of days, I'm like, you know what, Clint, take your $4,000 check and get the hell out of Ohio, because I'm not going to live anywhere near her. I'm not going to be around her. I don't want her in my state. I'm not saying my state like it's my state, like I think I'm all important. It's the fact that I don't want to be around her physically at all. I don't. And,
if she comes to Cincinnati, will you confront her in person?
I don't know if I'd walk away from her if I saw her.
Would you seek her out to confront her?
No, I wouldn't go banging on Clint's door to have Tracy come out. No, I'm not that type of person.
Okay.
I have kids.
Okay. Like,
yeah, I've never been in jail. I'm not going to jail over her. That's for damn sure. But if I, you know, no, but I mean, legally, it doesn't matter. I mean, if she were to come to Ohio, I mean, legally, she's not going to be allowed to stay at that apartment anyway. And Clint's, well, clearly, if he's going to be with her, then that's what I told Clint, honestly, a couple of days ago when I found out about all this. I'm like, you know what, Clint? I said, just leave, go back to Hobbs, collect your check from Alan, and just leave. Go be with her. And he's like, I don't want to be with her. I don't want to be with that whore. But you talk to her every single day. You pretty much hid me out. You talk shit about me behind my back. No. People don't do stuff like that. And it's so funny. It's like, I don't love you. I don't want to be with you. Then why the hell do you text me? Why, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, his actions, even if he's mad at me, like, if you hate somebody, then why are you, do you get what I'm saying? I don't think that he even knows right now at this point. I don't think he knows where his head is. I don't think he knows where his heart is at this point. Do I think he hates me? I think he thinks that he hates me. Do I think he hates me? No, absolutely not.
Okay, so final thoughts here. This is one of my last two questions. Your final thoughts to anyone specifically and to everyone, anything else that you think people should know or you want to say to anyone specifically?
I think that people should know 100% true facts before they go over to somebody's page and call them a homewrecker or tell, you know, say, I think that people need to understand that things that are said on social media are a lot more powerful than what they know. And, you know, and I'm pissed at Tracy. I would have had more respect for her to call me directly or to message me directly with any problems that she had instead of living up to the threat that she issued to Clint and I, which was sending her minions, fans, whatever, to destroy me and his life. I wish that she would have been woman enough. But again, you know, like I said, I will say this, Tracy cares more about herself than anybody. She didn't ruin me. She didn't ruin my life. She disrespected my kids. And that I'm never going to be cool with her about. But I don't wish anything like bad to happen to her. But the way that she treats Clint, you know, she, be real. You're not in it for the marriage and whatever. You're in it because of the fans and the show and the clout and all the bullshit. I'm not the clout chaser. She's the clout chaser. And I hate what she does to him. I absolutely hate what she does to him.
Okay, mentally. And do you want to tell people where they can find you on social media or anything like that if anyone wants to contact you?
I have a Facebook account and I have an Instagram account. GEN.Bailey, BAILEY. And everybody can feel free to look at my pictures of me and my boring life and my kids.
And do you have a Twitter?
No, I don't mess with Twitter.
Okay. And thank you so much for your time. I'm going to wrap this up by saying thank you for your opinions and for your perspective on this. And again, the people that we discussed, Alan, Tracy, Clint, were not here to defend themselves. They are welcome to come on this podcast and do that at any time. Thank you again, Genevieve. Thank you all for listening. Stay safe out there. Bye.